Guten Nachmittag.
Thorsten wird zum Thema LibreOffice, glaube ich, in Bassen erzählen. Viel Spaß dabei.
Hey zusammen. Ich hoffe, ihr könnt mich alle hören. Also ich kann euch anbieten, eigentlich steht das drin als englischer Vortrag. Aber wenn jetzt hier alle gerne Deutsch hören, habe ich auch kein Problem, das auf Deutsch zu machen. Geht vielleicht allen ein bisschen einfacher von der Hand, aber so als Angebot. Irgendjemand möchte mit Englisch? Okay, great. So we stick to English. Welcome, everyone. This is a talk about LibreOffice. LibreOffice technology is a bit of a catch-all phrase that includes every product out there that somehow contains LibreOffice inside, with like this Intel Inside thing. But it's LibreOffice still. My name is Thorsten Behrens. I've been involved with the project pretty much since day one, and before that also with OpenOffice. So that's what we're going to do, talking about how we managed to get all of that into the browser natively. That's me. I have a small consultancy company, engineering and consultancy around LibreOffice called Allotropia. The actual porting was done by my company, pretty much 99% of that. I'm also founder and serving at the board of the LibreOffice Foundation called the Document Foundation. And I'm one of those guys back in the day, 2010, who forked the project from OpenOffice. Let's first start with what is LibreOffice in the first place? I'm sure you have heard about it, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Who of you is using that on a daily basis? Awesome. I'm feeling right at home here. Still a few things, like just for completeness sake. So LibreOffice is a classical the source of it is a classical desktop office suite. So standard, like that's known for 30 years, with the usual applications. The project, which is called LibreOffice, and the foundation behind it, the open source foundation, maintaining, supporting, and promoting the project, is called the Document Foundation. The reasons for that are kind of historical. Predominantly, it was clear from the get-go that LibreOffice would not be the only project that would be hosted at that. So we wanted to have a different name that would make sure that others would feel welcome there. For example, we host about, I think, something like a bit less than 100 libraries, most of them C++, but also Python and some JavaScript. Tons of software that is hosted there, a bit like the Apache, but much on a much smaller scale, and still pretty focused on documents. We also host the Document Liberation Project, which is a bunch of libraries to mostly load kind of old formats, graphics and text formats, and it's also used by Caligra, it's also used by Inkscape and Scribus. So that's that. It's based in Germany. It's an actual foundation, like a German Stiftung. It's a very specific entity. 2010, we forked 2012, the actual foundation was in place. As I said, the philosophy of that foundation is to support the project, host the project, and support it in any possible way. And of course, the community behind that, by every means possible. It should be in contrast to how the project was run before with OpenOffice and Sun Microsystems, should be independent from any single sponsor and should kind of collect all the assets, all the rights, and pretty much make sure that something that happened back in the day with OpenOffice where it was essentially the whims of a single company, a simple corporate entity, would not happen again. Of course, we need for that lots of people, lots of help, all the support we can get, including an ecosystem of contributors and also commercial stakeholders. So that was also clear from the get-go that we wanted to welcome everyone, including commercial entities. We were not like in any way hostile to that. Quite the contrary, we were well aware that back in the day that we can't really maintain such a project of such a size with just volunteers. Foundation, again, what I said, charitable. The German foundation idea is much like the Swiss one or the Dutch one. It's something that is, the idea behind it was something like someone has $1 billion and it's kind of has no heirs, no one who could inherit that. So they would stick it in the foundation, it would be there for eternity. And we certainly hope that the Document Foundation will also be there for eternity. Yeah, acts as a trustee for all of that. And that's probably the one of the reasons why we took that setup, we choose that, should guarantee rights and should balance powers between all the participants. So if you contribute to LibreOffice, you can become a member of that foundation. And if you are a member, you have voting rights, so you can pretty much indirectly decide who's running the thing. And only people who contribute have that right. So when you stop contributing, you at some stage will also stop to be a member, which encourages contribution and also make sure that merit counts. So if you contribute, then you have a voice. If you're not, then not so much. We're very lucky in that with the donations that TDF is collecting, that we're able to pay quite a number of people to help, mostly kind of in the background, mentoring, infrastructure, administration, marketing, kind of all those things that are mostly hard to do as volunteers, either because it's time consuming or it's not very splashy. So we tend to kind of build a house for the community, so maintain the house so that the community can work there. Size of the project is pretty large, between 700 and 1 million. Sometimes when there's a very prominent release, more than 1 million downloads per week. We guesstimate around 200 million users worldwide, but hard to say since we're not selling that, so we can just indirectly guess how much that will be. And 7.5's last major release, just out. Some nice things there. Notebook bar, that's something that's close to what the other competitor is doing with this ribbon thing. And that's important to know. We're pretty open with the foundation. You find my company's name there as well, but also other companies, to really foster some ecosystem of commercial companies and also direct. So if somebody is using LibreOffice in a business setting, then also the foundation encourages to kind of look for services there so that you can run the office suite confidently and get the support that you need. Otherwise, as we all know, for open source, if there's a problem and you file a bug, then somebody picks it up or somebody doesn't pick it up. But that's something that we're quite proud of, to have that sort of set up there and quite some diversity. And also the fact that quite a lot of the contributions and the improvements come from that ecosystem. Now over to the more important and interesting things, which is WebAssembly. Slightly different slide design. So why did we do that? First of all, the LibreOffice always, and OpenOffice before, always has been pretty portable. So we always, even back in the day at the Star Division in the 90s, it was from the get-go designed to be cross-platform and portable. Back in the day, there was no mobile phones to speak of, but it was a different number of operating system and computers, so they kind of built it in that it's portable, and this has been ported to every relevant operating system, be that desktop or some servers, and has been ported to iOS, has been ported to Android, and but somehow browsers were missing. So we thought with the browser being increasingly front and center for let's say, user-facing software in many ways. Like, you have web applications, web application frameworks, all of that is kind of pushing the envelope. I mean, many, many things that are great UI design and very rapid way to come up with a nice-looking UI is actually in the web framework area. So, and also browsers are innovating on a massive pace, like just the amount of people working on that and improving that. And it's all cross-platform. So it's, again, would play to the strength of LibreOffice. So yeah, we thought that's probably a logical step, a nice place to be. And I looked at that first time in 2015 and obviously discovered WebAssembly there. Quickly had some prototype attempts there, and quickly discovered that that was a bit too early, so that wouldn't possibly work with that such a large application and complex application. But when we learned that AutoCAD and a number of other larger projects started porting to WebAssembly, we got curious again, and we checked again. The other bit, of course, is that obviously others are going right into the browser. There's a lot of browser office suites these days. Some of them kind of blended, some of them really running in a browser, some of them running in mixed mode. There's also Collabora Online, which is great. It's actually one of our, both from the foundation, one of our ecosystem partners, and also a partner of my company. But it's kind of running on the server and rendering in the browser. So it was kind of an obvious gap there that we wanted to fill. And so what it is, it's a, yeah, it's, sorry for that, but hard to read. So it's a native port. So we just took the LibreOffice C++, and we just like we did that for Android and iOS, we just had a cross-compile of that C++ into a different target, in this case, WebAssembly. What we're using for that is mscripten, the tool, and basing that on the WebAssembly standard, the first one I think was nailed, finished 2019, which has pretty much universal browser support by now, at least if you have a reasonably modern browser. But every mobile supported mobile operating system and all the desktop browsers support that out of the box. Challenges, many actually. yes, yeah, so we tried it in 2015, and no fucking way. So the maturity of the platform was a problem, and it was also unclear when we started, because there's lots of unknown unknowns, and it wasn't clear whether we will not hit another massive roadblock, because we wouldn't have the bandwidth, the manpower or woman power to actually also work on mscript and to make that work. But gave us some hope again, AutoCAD managed to do that. Size of the problem, another massive challenge. The full size of LibreOffice, including all third-party libraries, is about 10 million lines of code, which is quite a bit. And we have more than, I think, 127 or something third-party libraries and artifacts. So that's also like fonts and dictionaries and other stuff, but it's still something that you need to run LibreOffice. So all of that, or at least larger parts of that, needed to be ported as well. And we have some, known to break tool chains. We even had t-shirts once in the project, breaking your tools since 1990. Which is quite true. So if we had a compiler problem, if we had certain hidden limits in a platform that's likely going to be LibreOffice, one of the more infamous examples was to discover for the Android port that there's a hard limit on the number of shared libraries that the LDD of Android will be able to cope with, which was, I think, 120 or something, and we had more. So... we can use that. So yeah, lots of unknown unknowns. So we're a little bit worried there. And then the multi-threading and UI event handling is a bit of an issue because in a browser, you can't really block in the main loop. So LibreOffice had this, oh, let's block in the main loop and then kind of recursively call into the main loop again, and then open a dialog and do that again, and then you have a stack of like recursive main loop processing, and that's clearly not something that you can do in a browser because you will block. If the main JavaScript or the main thread in the browser waits, the session is blocked. So that was also not very encouraging. Heap size, all kinds of limits that we were kind of worried about. Heap size tops out at 4 gigabyte, only 32-bit pointers. The default setup is just 2 gigabytes for WebAssembly. And the entire development and debugging environment was also pretty early. So when we started in 2019, there was no real working source code level debugging possible for WebAssembly. Let's maybe skip on over that size of the binary. So that's clearly a problem. So we knew the Android port was about 100 megabytes. So now imagine that you have a static asset in the browser that you first need to download before anything happens. That's 100 megabyte in size. That's pretty unworkable. I mean, there's large websites out there, but I think 100 megabytes is a bridge too far. So we thought we could handle that by maybe stripping things down, by maybe just taking Writer and stripping everything else out, because LibreOffice per se is like a monolith, so it's all like in one large application. Everybody's using everything else. Luckily, it turned out that we could pack it pretty well. So WebAssembly, you can optimize that, and then you can pack it hard. So with that, we managed to get it about to 35 megabytes, which is still large, but it's within the range of what other websites, with all the assets, with all the JavaScripts and the images and shit, these days come with. So that was in the end not a massive problem. So let's speed this up a bit. So where we are now. So, I mean, to kill the surprise a little bit. So we did manage. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. We did manage to do the port. It is working. It is running. It is not massively large. The current status you can find there. I think is there a way to upload PDFs for the slides? If yes, then I would do that after the talk. And those are links, so you can check that. There's a wiki page on the Document Foundation wiki with the how to do that. Most of what I'm talking about is actually now on the main development branch. There's a little bit of extras in the feature branch. And what you can do now, if you use the master development branch, is you can run LibreOffice in the desktop setting with the desktop UI and the desktop sidebar and the desktop menus in the browser. Calc and Writer mostly working with a bit of a footnote there. Headless PDF conversion, so that's quite useful if you want to have an end-to-end encrypted session like CryptPad or anything else, and you want a PDF out of your document, so you can just in the background throw it some docx or throw it some ODT and get a PDF converted right there in the browser. And we also worked with Collabora to build an offline WebAssembly plugin for Collabora Online, so if your network connection drops, you could still continue working with your document. Good, that was where we are. Journey to that started in 2020 for real, so 2019 was, the first experiments and planning. we were pretty quick with the basic, like just getting configured to run the first files to compile, which is no surprise because LibreOffice as it is pretty portable already. So that was well within the expectation that we could over that there would be no massive problems there, and. Yeah, I did some CI, set up some Docker images for building that. So that was pretty fast. The actual pixel to render on screen, which you might think, how hard can that be? I mean, if you can compile, then how hard can running it be? It was actually almost a year later because of massive issues that I might... tell you a little bit of that in a second. Yeah, there was a bit of a death march, and I'm pretty, back in the day in 2021, we were massively relieved that we could actually, we did pull it off, which at some stage was not clear. Because there was like, okay, you fixed this problem, and then after you fixed that problem, we only notice that there's another problem hiding behind that problem, and then you fix that problem, and then you notice that there's another problem hiding behind that problem that you haven't seen before. And it was entirely unclear how many more of those hidden problems would be there for us to finally see the light. So yeah, that was 21. And then again, after that first pixel was rendering, again, things became much easier. So then it took another 4 months to get Writer essentially working in a way like you can do almost everything in Writer. Because then all the plumbing, all the infrastructure was there. And once you get, the basics going with a very portable architecture that LibreOffice has, it was then reasonably straightforward to continue there. Anyhow, and we presented that at FOSDEM last year. And then there was a bit of a, well, this was, of course, we are a consultancy company and not a very large one. So there was a bit of a, we did something else after managing to do that. So there was a bit of a lag there, but it was mostly not because of technical challenges, but just because we had to earn money somewhere else. So we got Calc working in August. We got headless PDF conversion working in September, presented on that at the LibreOffice conference. And we started in November with the Collabora Online port, which was another port, but actually much easier, much faster, because we knew all the where to go, where not to go, what to do. So we ported the separate online WebSocket daemon from Collabora together with Collabora engineers and got that working also in time for the FOSDEM 23 with a short demo there. What's ongoing is, there's still quite some work for getting this online plugin to actually work reasonably fast. So as to not like getting bored and falling asleep while waiting for it to render. We will get there, and then there was quite a bit of ideas that we have around having something that runs in a browser and has desktop UI is kind of interesting, but perhaps not like super sexy. So what we're working on now is to get the LibreOffice programmability API, which is extremely powerful. It's called Uno. I don't know if any one of you ever used that, but with that you can do essentially everything. You have full document access, you can create your own dialogues, you can create your own file abstraction, network abstraction, pretty much everything. It's almost like it's a component architecture, if you like, and exposing that API to JavaScript would be super nice because then you can have full access to the LibreOffice from your JavaScript web application. And some demos around that, some widgets that you can that are easier to reuse as it is today. Um, Yeah, so the core ideas of that port were, that's a bit hindsight, but we were pretty convinced. So there were a few bets that we had to make in the beginning. It was not feasible to have, like, from the beginning to try four different things and then see where that goes, because that would have meant trying four things for a year before being able to say what works and what doesn't. So we took some early decisions, which was sticking with the existing build system, sticking with the existing porting infrastructure, and not touching that, although it might have been perhaps for the first 80% easier to try something else. But we also wanted to have something that was not like in parallel to what the upstream project was maintaining. So that was pretty much a given to stick to AutoTools and GnuMake. The second early on decision we made, LibreOffice has pretty much like Firefox, its own GUI abstraction, pretty much a cross-platform GUI library, just like Qt, but built into LibreOffice. And that one in turn then has plugins for a number of operating or system or desktop environment GUI frameworks, among them Qt 5. So we knew that there was a Qt 5 WebAssembly port that was working reasonably well. There was a number of non-trivial demos running with that. So we decided to bet on that, to take the existing LibreOffice Qt plugin plus the WebAssembly port from Qt 5, and that turned out to be a good decision. So that made a lot of things a lot quicker, because that part was actually not causing many issues. That there were a number of bugs there, but none of them real blockers. So that held, that decision. LibreOffice is essentially C++. There's a bit more to that. There's XSLT, there's Python, there's some Java. There is the own LibreOffice basic language, but the core, like everything you really need, pretty much everything that runs when you start Writer or Calc, that's C++. So we went with MScripten, and after lots of pain and suffering, we pinned that to one specific version of MScripten. That was one of the actual massive pain points, because MScripten itself is a quickly evolving project. And they fix things and they break things. So you take a version and some bits are okay and some bits are broken. And you take the next version and some other bits are working and some other bits are broken. So it's just, and you never really know whether it's your problem or whether it's the MScripten platform's problem. So after lots of back and forth, we pinned so that's the version that's supported, that's the version that we know things work with, and it has, at that time, at least the least amount of surprises. And we initially also said we don't want to use any experimental WebAssembly features. So the threading thing that by now is obsolete, we actually do use a bit of threading, but it's like 2 years down the road now. The other two are still not used, and for good reasons. Dynamic linking is still a bit flaky, and native WebAssembly exceptions are not working at all, and it's unclear why. That just don't work. Potentially there's a bit of a speed up there when we use them, but we're currently not. Yes, and we also focused on Writer initially, but it's also so that was probably in hindsight not important. That was quite a bit of work, and for not that much gain in the end, because the amount of size you save is not substantial. Like in a way, like you're not getting from 100 megabytes to 30 megabytes by cutting Calc and Impress and draw out. You're getting from 100 megabytes to maybe 79 megabyte, and the real the real difference makes the compression and the optimizing. So, yeah. So in the end, we added the at least calc back to the mix. Major problems. I mentioned mscripten and the moving targets. There was also a problem with the mscripten setup that, depending on the phase of the moon and the time of the day, you would get different, because it pulls in a lot of Node.js for building, you would get like vaguely different setups. So I would build something and it would work, and the colleague who installed the exact same version would build something and it would break. And it was massive head scratch, and like, what are you smoking there? Something in the water, it works here, but why doesn't it work there? So in the end, we went with the Docker approach, so that we would have one system and only one system, and everyone could easily kind of copy that. Also makes the, let's say, starting with that, building that, there's quite a bit of prep work you need to do, and just pulling a container is a hassle-free thing, and it solved the problem with the random setups. I mentioned no source level debugging, which is a bit annoying if you talk about something that is 5 million lines of code plus. If you then need to resort to the essentially printf debugging if something doesn't work, that's also by now solved. So what we did apparently was we jumped into that right at the perfect moment. So by the time we actually overcame all the problems, the platform had evolved enough so that most of the pain points were actually addressed. So shared array buffer limitations are gone. The unstable WebAssembly, so the browsers improved a lot regarding the implementation, quality of implementation. And we got source level debugging. Best of breed still is Chrome, unfortunately, but Firefox catching up quickly there. So that's all mostly good. We had some problem because LibreOffice, did I mention LibreOffice creates a lot of shared libraries? I think I mentioned it, so really a lot. The problem with WebAssembly is we can't use dynamic linking. There was the slide before that. So we didn't. So we had to add something that supports static linking. So sticking everything that LibreOffice build system generates, which is something like 200 plus libraries, into one blob, and make that work upstream and make that blend with the upstream approach and make that not brittle, so that you would not need to manually add. Somebody comes with a new shared library and then you realize when you try to build WebAssembly, it's missing again. So that took quite some work to add it. Dependency loops, okay, let's skip over that. That's kind of detailed stuff. But actually the overcoming the WebAssembly platform challenges, including the non-debuggability and the static linking thing, both were took the majority of the time of this almost a year that we spent. And then there was problems with UNO, and then there's more linker problems, and bullet point from the top level, LibreOffice needs a ton of secondary files. So when you start LibreOffice, it relies on a lot of config and fonts and dialog definitions and that sort of thing, which is all installed next to the program. The problem with the WebAssembly is that there's no file system. There's nothing next to the program. There's just the WebAssembly blob that gets loaded in a browser. And for that, we took some detour and used something that mscripten actually supports, which is some virtual file system. So we just, like many games do that, we would just stick it all into one blob, zip it up, link it to the final WebAssembly binary, and then it gets loaded in with the blob, and you can access that at least read-only in the browser. Yeah, let's skip that. Let's go for some demo. What do you think? It was too many problems. We solved them all somehow. So all that matters is that it's now working. And so let me start with let me first start with the PDF conversion, because that is. So what you see is so this is not doing anything now. So let's open the web developer thing it here. So it just right now it has just loaded a static HTML page with some JavaScript there. So now we can choose some files like this guy. And then you see in the console, so first of all, it pulls in some debug symbols, so you can actually debug that. It's separate, so like if you know PDB file from Windows, or separate, that's a relatively recent feature for GDB to be able to load separate debug info. That's very useful. So you have the WebAssembly binary that has no symbols, so it's relatively fast to load. And then if you need debug symbols, you have that separately. So that works now. So it has been loading that, and then it pulls in the WebAssembly binary, and then it issues this essentially, if you know LibreOffice, there's a convert to a command line parameter where we can just convert something into something else. You can use exactly that from JavaScript now, so you can load the WebAssembly binary, you can give it this convert to command, and you convert to PDF, you convert to docx, whatever is possible with LibreOffice, and then you get the download here, and that's the actual document as if LibreOffice, you would have done that on a desktop. That's now, the speed is not really lightning fast, but it's mostly due to the fact that this is a non-optimized debug version. It is not compressed, so I can actually debug that. And it's also not yet cached. That's the way that the development environment works. But if it would be cached, so we tried that with the 35 megabyte version, it's pretty much instantaneously 2-3 seconds tops to get this loaded and converted. Okay, and what you see here is the entire source tree, so you can actually go here in the LibreOffice source and load things and set breakpoints here and actually figure out what's going wrong. That's pretty cool. So that's something that is workable. Next one up is the desktop. So that was actually the one that we managed to finish first. So that was pretty fast. Again, let's get the developer tools here. So you see there's some console output here. This is some Qt5 warnings that are here. You also see that source code gets loaded and you can set breakpoints. There is the full UI from LibreOffice. So you can, as you know that, I mean, of course, that is not brilliant. That's something that for a real usable web widget, you would not have this window title there, et cetera. And also, you probably want to have the menu and the toolbar to be native JavaScript. But as I said, that's relatively straightforward once you have the programmability API working. But just to show you what is this is like really, and it's not like slow at all. So this is like at least when you optimize that a bit, compiler optimization, this is almost native speed, and you get the entire feature set, like complex tables, you get those graphics, you get this like 3D rendering here. You have this the sidebar thing. So, yeah.
What is slow? What kind is slow?
Say again?
I know, since there is an error of interpreting, so everything goes down by 10, 20, 40, 100, I don't know, times. But what are the operations where one would see? Does counting the pages is one of the slowest operations, for instance?
So the question was what is slowing this down, if I got you correctly. Right now the binary that is running here is not optimized. So this is my development version. So if you like, we can play a bit and set breakpoints here. If you have an optimized version, then either you have an optimized version or you have proper debug symbols. If you want, there's no way right now from the toolchain to get both. So if you want full optimization, you've got no debug symbols. So for the demo, beyond that, there's a number of, so performance has never been a priority so far. So I'm pretty sure that there are some slow paths that we could address. First and foremost, that all the UI that you see is rendered by LibreOffice, just like it's rendered on Linux or on Windows, which is kind of unnecessary. So the at least toolbars and menus is something that you could easily do nicely in JavaScript, which is likely much faster than pushing out pixels via WebGL through some larger stack of software, and then in the end hitting the same pixel that JavaScript could address directly. If that answers the question. So, yeah, but again, the most important bit, I think, and that's the document area. So the rest is kind of nice. It's good to show for a demo. What's important is the document. That is exactly to the pixel what you get on a desktop, including all the features. So there's no problem that you frequently have for other web-based applications that there's a limited feature set, simply because it's a lot of work to implement all of those document features. And the same is true for Calc. So again, this is, for the sake of a demo, usually you would, so you just fill this down and you just add some chart here. And you go for something a bit more spiffy, and this one, and 3D. And you will not be surprised that it actually works because, yeah, well, it's just a desktop code that renders that. So, right, that's, let's say, the desktop experience. The desktop experience needs a bit of love because no one wants a desktop experience in a browser. But what people want in a browser is the desktop functionality, and no limits to that. No, oh, you can't edit this kind of embedded thing here. Please download the full version over here and install it on your system. Okay, then back to the slides. I think I need to hurry up a bit. Right, this is Collabro Online. This is just a screenshot, but what you see here, no internet and still working. So that's a demo that's kind of sluggish and slow, but let's say proof of concept that's working as well. The dev experience, that's mostly for reference. So what you need to do to actually be able to debug that in a browser, there's two things: install an extension and enable an experimental feature that you see here, and that's the extension. Remaining problems. I mentioned this nested main loop problem earlier. That's an ongoing work upstream with the LibreOffice project. There's an example commit. There's a bug ticket, bugzilla ticket that explains a little bit what needs doing. If you want to play with that, that would be awesome if you could look into that. There's a way to you to run LibreOffice that makes a crash for everything that is using this nested main loops. There's a number of important dialogues that got converted yet, but quite a number of them are not. So if I would have done that in the browser, which I didn't for the sake of the demo, we would have crashed. So that's not working now. And that's quite a lot of work, at least if we want to use the LibreOffice dialogues. If we go for JavaScript GUI, we're good. This memory file system is annoying because what we actually want is to have that browser local storage. That needs some love. The Qt backend is not great. That has a number of bugs. Some of them are fixed. We have some fork of that on the Allotropia GitHub. There's also Qt 6, which is now that was the main problem. And then, of course, then there's other avenues that are potentially much more work, like not using Qt, using the same front end as Collabora Online, or going native, like use this GUI abstraction that LibreOffice already has, and drive WebGL directly. And no problems, and project plan is I think, mostly clear, like polish what is there, fix some bugs, but mostly get something usable as a web, as an HTML widget. The PDF thing needs a bit of productizing, but that's mostly done. That needs a bit of wrapping. So anybody who has a need for that, just come to me and we can talk. And finishing, just 3 minutes before time runs out. So it's not a replacement. So LibreOffice is perfect because you can choose. So no one is like competing with anything here. We're just providing options. So it's not a replacement for desktop because it's already there. You can download desktop and install it and use it freely. It's not a replacement for mobile because there are the apps. You can download them freely and use them. It's also not a replacement for Collabora Online because Collabora Online has other great advantages, like, for example, collaborative editing. But it's serving unmet needs, I believe. So you can have fully featured offline capabilities with very nice programmability options right there in your browser where you can, from the JavaScript side, interact with your document, create new documents, fill in some forms, do PDF conversion in the background. And if you want to play yourself, I invite you all have a look. There's a demo set up there in large letters. And that's it. And we have a bit of time for questions and hopefully also for answers.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Here you go. You flipped a bit quickly about it. You mentioned P2P editing.
Yes.
Is that something that's in the making?
So we have been talking to, for example, CryptPad, and they were particularly interested in the PDF conversion, but also in the cross-document format conversion, so ODT to DocX and vice versa, because there's some limitations. So there are some tools that understand one format and other tools understand another format. So being able to flexibly convert between the two, optionally, if you need to, was seen as very useful. It comes as a price. It comes at the price of 35 megabytes. But if it's optional and it's cached, then maybe that works.
I have just a question as well. I'm not so familiar with WebAssembly, but is there a tendency to put all these desktop version in a browser? So that means, will the desktop version survive in, let's say, 5 years or something? Hmm?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a massive rush. It's not a stampede yet, but it's certainly that work has started. So also like basic libraries like in particular for encryption and PDF conversion, etc. So there's a number of in particular low level libraries in compilable languages like C, C++ that have been ported to WebAssembly. So there's certainly an ongoing movement to get things into the browser natively. And then that's precisely what WebAssembly is for, just to vastly increase what you can run in a browser without having to rewrite from scratch.
Any other questions? If not, I have one. Full disclosure, we use LibreOffice quite a lot, not just for making the podcast, but also for other stuff. And funny enough, we do rely on a legacy technology called BASIC. So as some of you may probably know, LibreOffice, apart from UNO, supports actually a programming language that is nice for writing actually business logic called BASIC. It's more like Visual Basic for applications, like a macro extension, that sort of thing. Is that supported too?
Yes, that is actually working. So you can run BASIC. There's a bit of a catch there, because it might act the way that many BASIC programs are written is actually to block, like to wait for input. That might be a challenge. That fact that we managed to get threading to work might be our get out of jail free card there to work around that. But technically, like, it's compiled, it's running, so you can run BASIC there. Even document macros would work. The problem starts once they are kind of blocking, popping up a dialog box, waiting for input. Then it needs some smart idea there. But in general, if it's, let's say, background activity, that works already.
We'll certainly give that a try. Any final questions up there?
This blocking aspect of LibreOffice BASIC just got me to this question. I know that nested event loops in any capacity are hell. I mean, how do you in general convert this nested event loop code into something that runs in a browser, runs in a purely sequential setup with a one main event loop and so on? Do you have a good strategy for this?
So we have, let me just find the slide. So there's there is a so-called easy hack. So it's not trivial, but it's, let me find the, so there's the way to do that is by doing it asynchronously. And there's a bit of support for that already, and a number of dialogues. So that was mostly work that Collabora did, because they had were facing the same issue for their online setup. So they started with that conversion, and let me find interesting. Here we go. There's a commit, so that is doing exactly what you need to do. You can mostly take that as a copy pastable or as a boilerplate example for what to do. There is some plumbing, there's some, let's say, core library support for doing asynchronous dialogues. So you would just asynchronously open a dialog, provided with the, let's say, with the local context, with the local data, and then would asynchronously get called back when this dialog finishes with the result. So, but it's actual work. I mean, that's not something that you can do like scripted conversion. You need to look at the code and convert every one of those 800 dialogues There are not 800 dialogues left, but there's some sizable amount of dialogues left that won't need conversion.
But it's only dialogues that you...
It's mostly the dialogues, yes. It's mostly the... So most of the sidebar UI, that's already asynchronous, that's not blocking. But many of the... let's say you want to change the styles or the formatting, you get a modal dialogue in LibreOffice Desktop that's blocking, and when you click on the right button, you get another modal dialogue on top of that, and that's where the nesting starts. Yeah.
Final question. Thank you.
Thank you.